What we've talked about doing this week, it's not just fasting, it's prayer and fasting. And that's why I'd set aside some times where we could get together and pray and do different things. And it was kind of difficult to try to figure out how to make it fit for everybody's schedule. Because, you know, some of you couldn't come unless it was in the evenings. And, you know, we're here all day, so we're ready to do it during the day. So how to make that work? Well, tonight, I ended up having the service tonight. So I was like, let's do some prayer tonight. Amen? So we're going to do a little exhortation, of course, first, on the subject of prayer and fasting. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of the things that the Lord has shown me concerning this subject. So let's go to Matthew 17. And I'm just going to share with you for a little short time tonight. And then, once we've heard the word, we're going to act on it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 17. A very familiar account of a boy with a spirit of epilepsy being healed. And I know I've taught on this before, but hey, I won't be negligent to remind you of the word so that you could stir up your pure minds. Didn't Peter say that? In other words, I'm going to preach the same thing over and over and over and over because you need to hear it over and over and over and over. Amen. Matthew 17 and verse 14. It says, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.'" Let me ask you a question. Have any of y'all ever seen an epileptic seizure before? Isn't that one of the most terrifying things you ever see? I mean, it'll make every hair on the back of your neck stand up to see this. Okay, so there's certainly things that it touches in you when you see this happening. And I bring that out for a reason because what do you think the disciples? It's not like they saw this all the time. Do what? If it's a real one? Well, it's a fake one, huh? Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. Well, I don't know if they're faking or doing it for real, but... Okay. Well, this guy was not faking it. This was a real spirit. This was a real problem that was going on in this guy. And the disciples, granted, are the disciples the same ones that were sent out by Jesus that he told them to cast out demons and heal the sick. And you remember when they came back to Jesus and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." So they were seeing results just simply through the name of Jesus. Didn't have the Holy Spirit, were not born again and regenerated. They were getting results simply by just using the name of Jesus. So this wasn't people that weren't ever seeing any results. These were guys that were used to seeing results. So here, when they tried to cast this spirit out of this boy, they didn't see results. And it caused them to question it, which we're going to see here in a minute. But I just love this when it says they brought it to this person to his disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Well, this is because it might not always be God's will to heal." Right? Now, you know, I'm so glad. I've said this before, but I'm so glad this story's in the Bible. Because listen, what it teaches us is just because we don't get results when we pray does not in any way make it not God's will. These guys prayed after they'd seen results, and they prayed for this and they didn't see results. It was not God's will for this boy to stay bound. Amen. And see, that's a lesson we've always got to take from that, because I think we've let that we've adopted that mentality in a lot of the church that we think if we pray, they were in faith, we were in faith, we prayed, and we didn't get results. So it must not have been God's will. No. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. Just because we don't get results just simply means we didn't get results. Now, fortunately for them, they had Jesus on the scene. Amen. So the one who was ready for this particular situation then steps in, and notice what happens. Well, Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." Notice he did not say here, "O faithless and perverse generation, you better be glad I'm here with you. Now I can bail you out." because you're not going to be able to handle this kind of thing. Now, no, he called them a faithless and perverse generation, indicating that he expected them to be at a point where they could get results on this one. You remember that when Jesus rose up and the storm was going on in the sea and he rose up and he stilled the storm, he said, "Peace be still." And then he said, "Oh, you of little faith." In other words, you should have done what I just did. Now, what I love about this, again, this is people who are not spirit-filled or born again yet. And he expected this out of them. How much more do you think the Lord expects out of us? Amen. Doesn't the Bible say love believes all things? Love hopes all things? And we've been talking about that on Sunday morning. What does it mean to hope? To have a confident expectation? Well, if God is love, then love hopes all things. God hopes and expects things out of us. He believes in us, and he has a confident expectation that you and I can get the job done. So we're going to learn some ways of how to get the job done tonight. Amen. So right here in verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus," notice this, "privately." In other words, to avoid being publicly rebuked by the Lord and being corrected in front of everybody else and losing face before the crowd, they came to him privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So here's the question. Why did we not get results? Why could we not get results on this particular situation after we've been seeing all this? What was Jesus' response? He said to them, "Because of your unbelief." Period. Because of your unbelief, period. In other words, the answer to why did we pray, not see results, and things like that, it is because of some unbelief in the factor right there. There's a factor of it somewhere. Now, when we talk about unbelief, and I'm going to talk to you what this basically means, with the disciples, over in Mark's account, Mark 9:24 or 23, it said that the man came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And I want you to notice something about that account when he said that, because that sounds like, how can you believe and have unbelief? Notice Jesus did not correct him and say, "Oh no, sir, you're mistaken. You can't be believing and be in unbelief at the same time." Like we would think. He didn't correct him. Jesus just goes on to tell him, however, this kind does not come out except by prayer and by fasting. Okay? So this is what we're talking about tonight. Prayer and fasting. And how this tackles and takes care of the unbelief that's in every one of us. So let's go ahead and settle this right now. Everybody in this room, any person listening to this recording, has a certain measure of unbelief that they are yielding to. Okay? So we're all under the same thing right here. We all got it. Okay? So what's the difference between believing and unbelief? Well, notice what he says right here. "For assuredly I say to you," when he says, because of your unbelief, and then what did he say? "For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So I want you to notice what Jesus is saying right here. Because what some translations here say, because of your little faith. You go read, I think the NIV says that, little faith, which is actually a poor translation. Because it wouldn't make sense for him to say, it's because of your little faith, for assuredly I say to you, if you have little faith like a mustard seed. You see that? That doesn't make any sense. It does? What translation is that? New Living. Some of the more modern ones say that. See, because what they're trying to tell you is it's because we have little faith. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's not a faith problem.
That's right.
It's an unbelief problem.
Okay?
Big difference. Why? Because all you need's a little faith. As a mustard seed, you just need a little bit to get results. You understand, faith and the faith of God is potent stuff. It's mountain moving, net breaking, ship sinking, powerful stuff. But it's the unbelief that's in us, like this man said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." See, he said, "I've got a little bit. That's what made me bring my son to you. I got some faith here. Help these mountains of unbelief that's going on in my heart that's negating and counterbalancing the faith I have." Amen. And then notice what he says right here. After he said, "For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, He's not using an analogy here. I believe Jesus was out there and he said, oh, you see this mountain right over here? For surely I say to you, you have faith like this, this mountain can be removed. That's how potent it is. And then it says, move from here to there and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Hallelujah. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. Now, if I were to ask y'all and do a poll in here and say, what is he talking about? This kind of what does not come out but by prayer and fasting? What's he talking about? Most of us would respond and say, this kind of demon. This kind of demon that was a demon of epilepsy in this situation, this kind does not come out. But then others that have heard some other things might tell you, no, what did Jesus say the problem was? It was your unbelief. So when he said, however, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting, this kind of what? How about this kind of unbelief? Now, which one's right, Pastor? I'll tell you which one's right. Both of them. They're both right. Why? Because yes, there are some bigger devils out there, some bigger, hairier ones that are going to be a little bit more resistant. They're going to manifest in certain ways that are going to try to latch hold a little harder, that you're going to have to be prepared for to get rid of them. And that's why I believe we see more results as a general rule when we pray for people out on the streets than you do at church. Because why? There's more risk. You're getting out on a limb a little bit more. You pray for somebody right in the middle of Walmart, you're going to have egg on your face. You're putting God on the spot, you know. So what is it doing? It's challenging the unbelief on the inside of you. The same unbelief that makes you see this demon manifesting itself in these seizures that cause you to say, man, something's not happening here. I don't know about this. Fear grips you. And that fear is the voice of that unbelief. Amen. So when he says right here, however, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting, he's talking about both. He's talking about the demon, but he's not talking about it to the respect of you come and you see somebody manifesting a demon like that, or you see a major bout of sickness or disease or infirmity, and you say, hold up, I'll be back in 40 days. I'm going to go fast for a while. No, that's not what he's talking about doing. He's talking about live a fasted life. Live a life of preparing yourself by denying your flesh so that when you are presented with the issue, you don't let all those fears and all that unbelief have a louder voice than the faith on the inside of you. Amen. You notice that we'll spring up real quick and we'll pray for somebody that's got something like a headache or something that's inside that we can't see. Like, just like Jesus said with those guys, which is easier to say, son, your sins are forgiven you, or rise, take up your bed and walk? Well, the answer is it's easier to say, son, your sins are forgiven you. Why? Because we can't see and touch with our natural senses if it happened when we did it. It's a whole lot harder to say, hey, man, get up and walk right now. Because why? Our senses are being touched by that. But the key is found in these two words, except by prayer and fasting. Okay? So we're fasting right now. So what's one of the reasons and benefits of fasting? One of the benefits of fasting is to deny your flesh, to starve your flesh, and to say, you are not going to have the loudest voice in my life. And see, this is where the unbelief comes from. And this is one of the reasons that we should live our lifestyle this way. I'm not talking about always denying yourself food, but it might be denying yourself all these other pleasures and things like that from time to time, just to tell your flesh, I'm disciplining you right now. I'm telling you no for principle. You know, we do that with Levi sometimes. Shannon will tell you. Sometimes I just tell him no. And you know, what's the next question the kid asks? Can I do something? No. Why? Because I said so. Period. Sometimes I tell Levi no just for principle. Really, there's no reason to do it. I just tell him that because I'm teaching him you're not going to get whatever you want when you want it. Well, you know you got to do the same thing with your flesh. Your flesh is like a kid too. Sometimes you got, yeah, that's right. I discipline my body every day. Amen. But because why? I'm exercising self-control to tell my flesh you are not running the show. You know, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes which is actually very prophetic concerning this new and better covenant that you and I live in. And what it describes is, he said, I saw something that was a grave shame. I saw servants riding on horses while the princes walked behind on foot. Now, what does that describe? The three parts of man. Listen, the servant is your flesh. The horse is your soul. The prince is your spirit. And your spirit is supposed to be the one that's riding the horse and dictating which direction the soul goes, not the flesh. But like it is with so many people, our flesh is running the show. That's where prayer and fasting comes in, to discipline your flesh and tell it you are not going to have the control. I'm not going to let you call the shots. And you know what you're doing? You're taking its voice. Hallelujah. You're taking its voice away from you. And I got an interesting statement. I got a lot of these things while I was praying just about an hour ago. But one of the things that I saw was, while prayer obviously makes God hear us better, fasting makes you hear Him better. While prayer obviously makes God hear you better, and that's a big key, the fasting makes you hear Him better. It makes you more sensitive to hear His voice. And that's one thing I've personally found over the past week, is that I have been absolutely more sensitive to His voice. There's just an evenness and a calm. He will, oh, thank you, Lord. Psalm 23 says, He leads me beside still waters. Now, most of the time we read that and interpret that to say that He leads me beside still waters, meaning He's directing me to go along these still waters, right? That's the way we usually read that. How about this? He leads me by the still waters. When the flesh has been subdued and you're on this even, tranquil state, those still waters and those peace make me more apt to be led by Him. Hallelujah. Makes you more sensitive to Him. Makes you more in that flow with Him. Amen. We need to flow better with Him. And the Lord gave me this statement before, actually, when I was preaching here one time. In the middle of the message, the Lord says, the reason why fasting and prayer is so important is because while prayer sensitizes us more to God, fasting desensitizes us to ourself. Or you could say, in context of what we're saying tonight, it desensitizes yourself to that unbelief that's in yourself. Amen. Now, there's more of a consciousness and an awareness to God. I'm becoming more sensitive when I combine the prayer aspect together with the fasting. Amen. And why are we talking about this tonight? Because I want us to grow to this place to where all of us, from myself to each and every one of you, we are so sensitive to the voice of the Lord that we are responding, we're hearing and obeying immediately, because there is no question in our heart and mind. We're hearing from God. We know what we're supposed to do. And it's going to be hard to do that if your flesh is dictating everything else you do. That will be the loudest voice that you have. And we've got to eliminate that from being that loudest voice. Amen? Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 13. When I went to India one time, I was actually teaching this Bible college. And the Lord gave me this. And I was teaching on communion with the Holy Spirit and the importance of it. But in the middle of the message, you know, I love that. I like them rhema words that come right on spot. Amen? No canned sermons here. Glory to God. Acts 13. And verse 2, this is a familiar situation where they were ministering to the Lord, and the Lord said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul. But I want you to notice specifically what it says. Acts 13, 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. This is what the Lord gave me before on this. You want the Holy Spirit to talk more to you? Or I would say it this way, because I don't like that kind of doctrine. I believe the Holy Spirit's always communicating. I believe God's always talking. God's just an absolute constant chatterbox on the inside of you. Problem is, with most of us, we're not sensitive to His voice. So we're not hearing it. So do you want to learn to hear His voice more? Let Him hear your voice more. Minister to the Lord and fast. Which is what? Ministering to the Lord is doing what? What ministers to the Lord? What, yeah, worship, praise, thanksgiving. You know, that to me, praise and thanksgiving is the frequency of God. And it's so quick, if you just get over into that, it's like switching a radio dial from AM to FM. Boop! You know, if you're on AM, it's going to be hard for you to hear anything that's on the FM. But when you turn it over from flesh to spirit, boop! the Lord's voice becomes crystal clear. And you can hear it. It's communion with Him. That's exactly right. So it's ministering to the Lord. But the key is the worship, like Doreen just said. It is ministering to Him. What ministers to Him? Like the Scriptures tell us, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. What does that mean? Well, it means to praise God. Well, what blesses God? How about when you tell Him, you're a good God. You're a wonderful Heavenly Father, and You are forever faithful to me. You're always there with me, and I'm so appreciative and thankful for all You do. If you live a constant lifestyle like that, you know what's going to be happening? You're going to be like rigging them wires on them TV like they used to have to do. Some of you probably still do it, but you know, rigging them wires so you can get the reception coming in. You're rigging them wires to where, boom, you hear His voice. It's crystal clear. It's coming through in color and not in black and white anymore, baby. And we're hearing it. We're sensitive to Him. And we're doing what He's telling us to do. Amen. Now, 2 Chronicles 20. We're familiar with this scripture. Thank You, Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Yeah. There you go. And there's actually other scriptures. Acts 14:23 talks about how when they had to make a specific, important decision, they prayed and fasted about it every single time. Why? That's my question. I actually saw the answer to it for the first time today. Why did prayer and fasting always precede the important decisions in the church? Why? It's not because we're trying to twist God's arm and say, all right, God, we're going to deny ourselves enough now to where now You're going to have to do something here. And we're going to ask Your blessing upon it. No. See, that's why I don't ever pray for God to bless anything that I do. Ever. I never say, God, please let Your blessing upon it. No, you know what I do? Lord, calls me to hear what You want me to do. And when I do what You want me to do, it will be blessed. See, the problem is most of us are doing what we want to do and asking God to bless our plan. God's not obligated to bless our plan. He only blesses His plan. Amen. So we need to hear from Him what He wants us to do. Well, why did they fast and pray before the major decisions? Because fasting and prayer, when combined together in the correct way, causes you to hear God more accurately, and it keeps you from making a mistake on those major decisions. And I'm going to show you a scripture on this. Actually, go over to Ezra and let me show you this. Forget 2 Chronicles 20. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra is right before Nehemiah and after 2 Chronicles, so it's close by. Praise the Lord. This was good right here. I saw this afternoon. And it really blessed me concerning the power of fasting, or why we fast. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Notice this. And I'll just tell you about the 2 Chronicles 21. It said that when they had a major issue going on, enemies were coming against them, it said that what did they do? They started to fear, but you know what they did? Set themselves to seek the Lord, and they called a fast. Jehoshaphat called a fast. And they ended up hearing from God right after that. Clearly. God-inspired words. Notice this. 20 verse, I think it was verse 3. I'm not sure. Just say 2 Chronicles 20. It's a good chapter to read anyway. Ezra 8:21. Ezra is before Nehemiah, after 2 Chronicles. It says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava. How do you say that, Donna? I don't know how to say that. Ahava. That we might humble ourselves before our God. So why did they call the fast? That they might humble themselves before their God to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. So what is the purpose of fasting? Why do we do it? It's to seek the Lord for His direction. Amen. And you're subsequently putting yourself in position to hear His direction better. Amen? But one of the things it says right here is to humble ourselves. Okay? Now get the idea of your mind that when we're talking about humbling ourselves, it's not talking about making you more meek and gentle and lowly and all the things we think humility is. No, humbling ourselves is what? The word humble, you go look it up in any of the translations, it basically means to make low. So think about it that way. Let's use that translation. through the fasting, we make ourselves low. And what by default becomes high? God, the Spirit of the Lord inside of us, our new born again recreated spirit, the parts of us that are hearing from God. So it makes you lower so that you can hear from Him better. Are you following that? So you want to become more sensitive to Him. You want to hear Him better. You humble yourself with fasting. It actually says that over in Psalm 35:13. I humbled myself with fasting. So it humbles you, your flesh, that part of you, so that you can be more sensitive to what He's saying. Amen? So this is the whole reason why we're doing this. Fasting and prayer. Fasting to deny yourself. Prayer to sensitize yourself to Him. Fasting to hear from Him better. Prayer for Him to hear from you better. So guess what we're going to do now? Practice what we're preaching.